would like to read now from Ezekiel chapter 3. Listen please carefully to the 15th verse. Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 15. The Word of God says, "Then I came to them," this is what Ezekiel is saying, "Then I came to them of the captivity of Telabib that dwelt by the river Chebar, and I sat where they sat and remained there astonished among them 7 days. I want us to think about the one expression, and this is very strongly just in the past hour has been on my heart. It's not what I really felt earlier that I was going to be preaching tonight, but I felt very strongly that these words that Ezekiel spoke, when Ezekiel said specifically about these people as they had been through very difficult times in their lives, and then the Word of God says that Ezekiel said, "I sat where they sat." And then the Word of God tells us about how he sat down with them and he was actually feeling empathy for them. He sat down with them for 7 days. Now these people were mourning and they were depressed and discouraged and despondent because of the judgments of God in their lives and because of the problems that they had. And the Word of God says that Ezekiel said, "I sat where they sat." Now, I believe that that's because there's a reason that Ezekiel was willing to sit down with them for 7 days. What do you think? What do you think is the main reason? What do you think was the moving and motivating force that caused Ezekiel to say, "I sat where they sat and was astonished with them. I sat with them for 7 days"? What do you think is the main reason? What moved and motivated Ezekiel to sit down with them for 7 days? What do you think was the main reason?
To know what they were going through.
Okay? To know what they were going through. I don't think there's any way you can ever completely know what somebody's going through, but if you really care about somebody, I think you're going, when they're having major problems, I think you want to know what they're going through and you'll be concerned about them. What would be another reason besides wanting to know what they're going through, Brother Ken? What would move you and motivate you to do that?
Would it be like sitting with someone sick?
Yes, it would be like sitting with someone that's sick. Sometimes, and I remember when I was a young boy, we sat up all night sometimes with those that were sick. We would go, and how many of you remember those old days where we would sit up all night with people when they were sick? We would be there in the home. And when someone would die, we would sit in their home all night. We would sit up all night. Now, they were doing, when we did that, we were doing the same thing that Ezekiel did. When Ezekiel, about these people, he said, "Now I sat where they sat. I sat right down with them. I sat among them. I sat there, and there's something that I think moved and motivated them." What would be the things that would move somebody to want to be with them? There's something I think that really causes people to do that. What do you think is the...
Love.
Okay, I think that love and compassion, I think those are the things that move us and motivate us to be willing to sit where other people sit. And I think that Ezekiel had a tremendous amount of love, not just for God. Ezekiel had a great love for the people of God. And I believe that if you and I are Christians, I believe that we also will have a great love, not just for God, but we'll have a great love for God's people. And I think that when God's people are having trouble, that we need to learn and understand that it's a privilege to sit where they sit. It's an honor to sit down with them and to mourn with them. It's a privilege to sit down with them and to commune with them. Do you remember anybody else that now Ezekiel manifested a tremendous amount of love right here? You remember the children just a minute. Do any of you children remember somebody in the Bible that was having a lot of trouble in his life, and he had three friends that came, and those three friends did exactly the same thing that Ezekiel did right here. Those three friends, they came and they sat down with this man for 7 days, same amount of time. Do any of you children remember who it was that had three friends that loved him so much when he had all those troubles in his life and when he was just overflowed with confusion and problems and burdens and sorrow, he had three friends that came to him. Do any of you remember who it was that had three friends that came and sat down with him? All right, Sister Bethany? Job. Job had three friends. What did Ezekiel say? I want you to just memorize and think about these words that Ezekiel says when he says, "I sat where they sat." And now I want you to turn to the book of Job. I want you to look at how Job's three friends, sometimes we condemn those friends and say, you know, those were terrible friends. They accused Job of doing something wrong, and they told Job that was the reason he had all that trouble in his life, was because he had done something wrong. And we look at the flaws in those friends. We look at the friends of Job, and we think about what those friends did wrong, but we fail to realize those were true, honest, good friends. I think those were about as good of friends as any human could ever have. Now, as long as they kept their mouth shut, and as long as they just sat with their friend, they did good, didn't they? But it was when they opened their mouth that they messed up. And sometimes we're the same way. Let me just caution you that when you go and you're with people that are having trouble, sometimes the best thing you can do is just sit there. Just be with them. Just let them know you love them. Don't start saying, "I know how you feel." That's one of the... Brother Bud, y'all just been through the death. Did it bother you sometimes when people say, "I know how you feel"? That's always bothered me. When I'd be having trouble and somebody comes up and says, "I know how you feel," sometimes I want to just punch them in the nose. Say, "You don't know how I feel. You don't know what I'm going through." Because when I'm going through serious problems in my life, I don't want somebody to come up and tell me they know how I feel. Because they don't know how I feel. You don't know how, you don't know exactly how anyone else feels. The fact that I've lost a son, if you lose a son, I can't come to you just because I've lost a son and tell you I know how you feel. The fact I've lost a son does not mean I know how you feel. Everybody is different. Every situation is different. So what's the thing you need to do? Stay away from them so you don't offend them? No, you need to go to them. And what did Ezekiel do with those people there in Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 15? What did he do? He says, "I sat where they sat." That's all he did. I sat down with them. And then Job chapter 2. Look in your Bibles at Job chapter 2. Look at verses 11 through 13. Job chapter 2, beginning in verse 11. Job 2 verse 11 says, "Now when Job's three friends heard..." And what all had happened to Job? Somebody just tell me, some of you children, tell me some of the things that had happened to Job. What was one of the things that had happened? Okay, Sister Logan? Okay, he had boils all over his body, from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. He had his body was afflicted with boils. What else had happened to Job? Somebody else, one of the other children, Brother Devin, what else happened? All right, he lost all of his children. He had, I believe, seven sons and three daughters. He had 10 children, and all 10 of his children had died. Brother Drew, what else had happened? He lost his animals, yes. He had a multitude of animals. He was a very rich man and lost all of those animals. He lost his possessions, his house, his children. He lost his health. He lost everything. And then the Word of God says in Job 2, verse 11, "Now when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that was come upon him, they came every one of them from his place, Eliphaz the Temanite, and Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite, for they had made an appointment together to come to mourn with him and to comfort him." Now they came to mourn with him. They came to just sit down with him. They came, what Ezekiel said was, "I sat where they sat." You can't fully, completely empathize with somebody, but I think that when you sit down with someone and you're with them, I think you begin to feel some of the pain that they're feeling. I think that these three friends, when they sat down with Job, I think they began to feel some of the sorrow. I think that as Job would cry, that they would cry. As Job would mourn, they would mourn. And they were good friends, as far as I'm concerned. At least until they opened their mouths, they were as good a friend. How many of you have ever sat down with anybody for 7 full days? just sat there for 7 days. Anybody here? Anybody ever here ever had a friend that had trouble and you went and you were with them for 7 full days? Well, don't pick on Job's friends, okay? Because those were good friends. They were good friends. They were good friends. Verse 12 says, "And when they lifted up their eyes afar off and knew him not," that is, they saw Job, but they couldn't even recognize him because of all the boils on his body, "they lifted up their voice and wept, and they rent everyone his mantle and sprinkled dust upon their heads toward heaven." Verse 13 says, now remember, what did Ezekiel say over there in Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 15? What did he say? I sat where they sat. And now in Job chapter 2 and verse 13, the word of God says about these three friends, "So they sat down with him upon the ground." How long did Ezekiel sit down with those people that were mourning over there in Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 15? He sat down with them for 7 days. And now in Job chapter 2 verse 13, the word of God says, "So they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and 7 nights, and none spake a word unto him, for they saw that his grief was very great." Now, I just want us to understand that we have a responsibility to sit down with people that are having trouble. Now, people have all different kinds of trouble, and you may not have ever had the same kind of trouble that they're having. There are people who come and worship with us here that are having great trouble this right now in their lives. There's one individual, they're just all kinds of trouble. I'm not going to start enumerating all the different kinds of problems, but there are people who come and worship here with us that have a tremendous number of problems and troubles, great troubles, greater and more difficult than most any of you can ever begin to comprehend. And we can't imagine what they're going through. And you can sit back if you want to and say, well, the reason they're having all those troubles is because they've sinned. That's exactly what Job's three friends eventually said, because they've sinned. And if you want to sit back in judgment and judge people that you know why they're having trouble in their lives, I want you to get ready for major trouble to come in your life. Because when you sit back and you think you know the mind of God and the will of God and why God's doing things, you know, you better be careful. You're judging. You don't know why trouble comes in people's lives. The Bible does tell us that when we walk contrary to His Word, He will bring judgment. But the Word of God also talks about trials and tribulations that come in the lives of God's people. So you be careful about looking at people that have trouble. You be careful about sitting back and getting away from them. Sometimes we want to run away from them. And what did Ezekiel do? I'll tell you, did those people in Ezekiel chapter 3, had they done things to deserve that trouble they were in? Yes, they had. Had they turned their back on God, and yet Ezekiel still loved them anyway. Why? Ezekiel knew something about himself. What do you think Ezekiel knew? He knew he was a sinner. He knew he was a sinner. And when he saw the judgments of God in those people's lives, he sat down with them and mourned. And though he wasn't personally experiencing the same trouble they were, he knew he deserved to experience the same trouble that they are. And there are many people in our lives, many people that we know, many people who are going through great trouble, and we need to stop sitting back and looking at them and say, I know why they're having their trouble. You need to sit down with them and understand, except for the grace of God, you would be going through the same kind of judgment in your life. Brethren, the Word of God teaches us that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there's not a person in this building that deserves the blessings that we have. We all deserve eternal hell, and if it weren't for the amazing grace of God, we would spend eternity in hell. And we not only don't deserve to be in heaven when we die, we don't deserve to have the blessings that we have in our lives every day. But God, in His mercy and grace, He looks down on us and He blesses us. And then occasionally we have problems in our lives, and other people have problems in their lives, and we need to learn that we need to have compassion on other people. Were there many people that Jesus came in contact with, and the Word of God would say He had compassion on them? And one of the reasons the Pharisees got so mad at Jesus is that He would, you know the next two words I'm fixing to say, that the Scripture said, one reason they got so mad at Jesus, He would what?
Sit down.
He would sit down with sinners. You know that's who Ezekiel was sitting down with over there, don't you? He was sitting down with some sinners. You know who Job's friends were sitting down with, don't you? They were sitting down with a sinner. Now, you might say, well, Job wasn't the sinner. Yeah, Job was a sinner. Now, was Job a man that feared God and shunned evil, a man that tried to live right? Yes, he was. But he was still a sinner. He was still a man that fell short of the glory of God. Did Job deserve all those blessings he had in his life? No, it was the mercy of God and the grace of God. Job experienced great trials of affliction and tribulation in his life. And I'm glad, I am thankful that Job had three friends that sat down with him. And I'm thankful that those people in Ezekiel, in the book of Ezekiel, I'm glad they had a prophet of God that had enough compassion and concern for those people. The Word of God says that Ezekiel said, I sat where they sat. Just sat down with them. Did it do you good, Brother Bud and Sister Ruth, when people just come to your house? Some of them might have said the wrong words. Some of them might have done some wrong things. But, you know, if you got any charity, you can overlook anything they did wrong. But you know their heart was right. You know they wanted to do what was right, even if they messed up. Isn't it good to have people that care enough about you? Do you know why there were so many people at Brother Bud and Sister Bruce's house? You know why there was such an outpouring of love? Do you know why so many people were down there? It's because he that will have friends must what? Show himself friendly. Oh, brethren, if you want to have friends, you've got to be a friend. If you want people to sit down with you when you're having trouble, you need to learn you've got to make some sacrifices to sit down with people when they're having trouble. These three friends of Job, do you think they had plenty of other things they needed to do for those 7 days they sat with Job? They had an abundance of things. These were busy men. They were men that had plenty of other things to do. And I know that we're all busy, but no matter how busy we are, does God not have the ability to just help us change our priorities? Have you ever thought you were too busy and just so busy you just didn't have time for anything, and then all of a sudden God will just go, just boom. Oh, and then you've got time to do anything He says, don't you? Well, brethren, we need to pray that God will help us not to have to experience that hard judgment of God where we do stop, but that we would, by the grace of God, look to Him and say, God, help me to be a friend. Help me to be this kind of friend. Help me be the kind of friend that Ezekiel was, that sat where those people sat. Help me to be a kind of person that would condescend to men of low estate. Help me to be the kind of friend that Job's friends were. Help me, Lord, to sit down with people who have problems, who have trouble. Help me to pray for them. The Bible says this. The Bible says that a friend, in Proverbs 17:17, the Bible says, a friend is made for adversity. I want you to think about that. A friend is made for adversity. I think I've got a lot of friends in this building. Did you know that? I think I could call most of you in the middle of the night. I could say, I need y'all to sit up with me all night tonight. I believe I could say tonight, we're just going to stay here all night. Any of you that can, stay here all night tonight. I believe that almost everybody would stay here all night. Did you know that? I think it's wonderful to have love between brothers and sisters in Christ. I think if there was anybody in this building that had a major burden and said came down here and was weeping and crying and said, I need the prayers of those I love. And I need everybody just to sit down with here on the floor. We've done it. We've all just come down here and just sit down on the floor and kneel down on our knees and pray for whatever brother or whatever sister has a problem. But if you needed us to sit all night and pray all night, I think that the vast majority of the people who are here have enough love for God and love for each other that we would get down on our knees and stay at each other's feet to show we're willing to sit where you sit. We're concerned about your problems. We care about you. The first and great commandment is to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. But the second is to love thy neighbor as thyself. And I'm glad, I'm thankful for the privilege. I think there are a lot of people in this world that don't have friends. Did you know that? I've seen a lot of people that just don't have friends. I've seen parents that don't even have children that care about them. I've seen people there are people all over in the nursing homes. They don't have anybody that cares about them unless they've got some brothers and sisters in Christ. Their family doesn't care about them. But how wonderful it is that even when your natural family doesn't care, how wonderful it is to be a part of the family of God and to be a part of the Church of Jesus Christ where true love abounds, to be a part of that body of people that when one member suffers, what do all members do? They suffer. When one member mourns, what do? They all mourn. When one member rejoices, what do? They all rejoice. That's the way the church of Jesus Christ is. The true church is a body of people that when one member is down, what does everybody else do? They sit where they sit. They sit down. They mourn with them. Go with me to, now you might say, well, Brother Billy, sit up with me all night. And I might sit up with you one night or two nights or three nights. I think the most I've ever sat with somebody round the clock was three days, I think, was my limit. The most I've ever done. But I want to tell you tonight there's somebody better than your preacher. Way, way better. Amen. I want to tell you there's somebody that will sit with you round the clock. Amen. Middle of the night. You might say, well, I didn't want to bother you. Well, there's somebody you won't have to bother. There's somebody who cares. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 2 just a moment. Look in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 2. I want you to know you've got a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I want you to know that though we have the church and we have brothers and sisters in Christ, I want you to always remember that no matter where you are, even if you're put in prison and nobody else can come see you, I want you to know there's somebody that's going to sit down with you in prison. Just like Ezekiel said, I sat where they sat. Did you know there's only one person? And he's a person, by the way. Now, he's the God of heaven and earth, but he's the person Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ has sat down with me every time I've been down. Did you know? He was right there. That's amazing grace. Jesus has sat down with me. Now, Ezekiel said, and it was kind of a rare occasion for Ezekiel to do it. I think that's the reason he wrote it down. Why, here's a time in my life I sat down with some people for 7 days. So he wrote it down in the book of Ezekiel. But listen, Jesus sits down with us every time. Did you know a lot of you during this past week, haven't some of you had some problems during this past week? And when you've had those problems, you might not have had anybody else sitting down with you, humanly, physically sitting down with you. But isn't it wonderful to know, have you ever felt that there was somebody sitting beside you, sitting with you, that did really know what you were going through? And that one person is Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 2, listen to what the Word of God says. And did you know that Jesus came into this world? He came here for a lot of different reasons. He came here to save us from our sins. He came here to establish His church. He came here to set an example for us as how to live. He came here for many reasons. But another reason He came here was to... Did Jesus learn anything while He was here? Now, you might argue with me on this, but heads are going no, but I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. Amen. The Bible says that Jesus learned obedience. That's right. The Bible says that Jesus learned what it was like to be a man. Yeah. Jesus knows some things about being in the flesh. Yeah. I'm glad He came in the flesh. Amen. And you might say, I know what you're going through, but you might not know, but there's one who does know. There's only one who knows, and that's Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 2, listen please to verses 17 and 18. The Word of God says in Hebrews 2:17, He says, "Wherefore in all things it behooved Him to be made like unto His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest." You know who is our high priest? It's Jesus Christ. That He's a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that He Himself hath suffered being tempted, He is able to succor or relieve them that are tempted. Why? Jesus knows what it is to be tempted. Jesus, the person Jesus, God in the flesh, knew what it was to be tempted. And because He knows what it was to be tempted, He's able to help me when I'm tempted. And that's the reason in Hebrews 4, come down to Hebrews 4:14 now. We're talking about this great high priest that was tempted in all points like we are, except for one thing, that there's a difference. Hebrews 4:14, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest." That great high priest does what? What did Ezekiel do with those people? He sat. He sat where they sat. What does this great high priest do? Oh, he goes right before the throne of grace, doesn't he? But what else does he do? He gets right down where you are and he sits where you sit. Lord of God says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Jesus was tempted in all points like we are. There, you have never had a burden, but what Jesus knows how you feel. You've never had a problem, but He was right there sitting down with you. He sat with you. He's sitting with you. He's sitting with you tonight. And He'll sit with you all night. And He'll sit with you the rest of your life. Because He's a faithful and merciful high priest. And He knows what you feel. Verse 16 says, let us therefore, since we have this great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Do you know what I need when I'm downcast like those children of Israel were in Ezekiel chapter 3? You know what I need? I need something. It's a five-letter word that I need. You know what you need when you're in trouble? It's a five-letter word that you need. You know what you need?
Grace.
Grace. He says, let us go before the throne of grace to obtain mercy and to find... Well, you need mercy too. That's five letters. You need mercy and you need grace. But we need grace to help in time of need.
Amen.
Do you know that without God's help, without grace, without God's grace, you can't do anything to please God? This idea, well, just pull yourself up by your bootstraps, you can't do it. But I'll tell you, when you're sitting down and you're worn down and you just feel like you can't go on, guess who's sitting right down there with you? And all you have to do is lift up your eyes unto the hills from whence cometh your help. All you have to do is talk to your elder brother. All you have to do is ask your great high priest, help me, Jesus. And Jesus will give you the strength. He'll give you the grace you need to get back up and go again. What a wonderful Savior we have. Brother Robert Barnes spoke this afternoon at the nursing home and he talked about eternal salvation, that Jesus is the one that saved us for eternity. But he says there's a lot of other ways that Jesus saves us day by day. I'm glad that Jesus has not just saved me for heaven and one day I'm going to go to heaven. I'm glad He saves us day by day. He saves us. He helps us. He delivers us from the troubles and problems we have in our lives. Well, I may let you down and I may not be with you 7 days and I might not be with you in the middle of the night. But Jesus will never let you down.
Amen.
He'll never forsake you.
Amen.
Now, I had this thought just coming to church tonight. I want you to think about this. This is pretty if I can get it across. I want you to listen. Now, Ezekiel and Job's three friends, they sat where they sat, didn't they? Now, they just sat down beside them. But I want you to know that there's a sense in which Jesus didn't just sit where we sat, beside us. Jesus sat in for us. And there's a big difference in those two things. He sits with me. But He sat in for me. He stood in for me. Sometimes when you can't go to a meeting, you may call somebody and say, would you sit in for me? There have been many times that I've gone to different places where I would sit in for someone else. That is, I took their place. I was there instead of them. And Jesus sat down. I'm going to say He stood up for me. And He hung on the cross of Calvary for me. And even if I died on the cross, that wouldn't have saved me from my sins. Even if I died on the cross, I couldn't save myself, much less save you. That would not have delivered me from eternal hell just to hang on the cross and die. Shed my blood, that's not going to save me. The blood of bulls and goats couldn't save me, and my own blood can't save me. It took the blood of Jesus Christ, and He came down from heaven. He came down, and He sat down in a sense. Not just with us. That's what Ezekiel did. That's what Job's friends did. But Jesus went one step further, and He sat down for us. You think about an electric chair. Oh, I've heard of people that would say, I'd love to just take their place in that electric chair. Well, that's what Jesus did for me.
Right.
He took my place.
Yeah.
He sat down for me.
Yeah.
And He died an agonizing death for me.
Yeah.
That's the kind of friend I've got.
Amen.
That's the Savior I have.
Yeah.
He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother.
Right.
You know, do you think you can be almost that good a friend? Now, please don't. Let me just kind of rephrase that. I think in the Bible, and I think in our lives today, I think there are people that would literally give their lives for each other. Do you believe that's true? Are there some people you know that you would give your life for? Brother Mac, would you give your life for anybody? Tell me who you'd give your life for. Yes. You'd literally die for them, wouldn't you? Isn't that wonderful? I think it's wonderful that God's given us the capacity to love each other so much. And I believe we can love each other that much. I believe when Paul said in Romans 9, I believe he loved the Jews so much that he said, I could wish myself accursed for my brethren's sake. He loved those Jews. He loved his brethren. I think he's saying there, if I could, I would just take their place and I would let them have my place in the kingdom of heaven. I think that Moses said that when he went before God and he prayed and he said, God, if it be possible, just blot me out of thy book, but don't blot them out of your book. Let me take their place. But did you know Moses couldn't take the place of the children of Israel? Did you know that Paul couldn't take the place of the Jews? And you can't take anybody else's place, but Jesus can and Jesus did. But even though you can't take their place, there's one thing you can do, and that is you can sit down with them. Now, if you're not even doing that, then you're failing to be a Christian. Faith without works is dead. If you have a brother or sister that stands in need, and you say, I'm going to pray for you, you can go home and read this in James 2, 14 through 17. You say, I'm going to pray for you. If that's all you do, if you don't sit down with them, if you don't do something to help them, then you've got faith without works, and faith without works is dead. If you see people in need, you better go sit down with them and find out what you can do to help them. May God help us to sit down with those who have problems, is my prayer for Christ's sake.